right. Well, good evening, everybody. It is great to see you tonight. What a beautiful day today. Even yesterday, the weather was just very, very nice. Don't know if you got to spend some time outside, but got a lot of work done. And it was just nice the last 2 days to be able to be outside. So, once again, for me, make sure you hold on to your prayer requests at the end. We'll get to those then, and I'll be keeping an eye on Facebook. I got my faithful compadre back in the booth, got Kevin back there, so he'll be helping me keep an eye on that this evening as well. Want to remind you of one thing, that this Sunday we'll be going to our 10:30 worship time. This is to prepare for other ministries to reopen and all, so make sure that you plan accordingly. 10:30, you must wear a mask when you come in the building. Also, starting on the 10th, our offices will be opening Monday through Thursday. Believe the time is 9 to 5. For the office hours, if you're planning on coming into the building, you do need to wear a mask. If you don't have one, when they buzz you in, let them know that you don't have a mask and they will provide you with one. But we need to start getting everybody prepared for the school year and the preschoolers being here and all that as well. So just know that that's going to be one of the things that we'll be doing in the weeks to come. So anyway, looking forward to this evening. We're going to be going, you can see, Prepare by Prayer, and this is part one. This was actually a two-part sermon that Tozer did, and really some in this first half. Once again, you know, I've told you guys how much I've liked being able to go through this series with you, and we've only got a couple more weeks left of this. So anyway, just want to make for sure that yeah, be in prayer as I look for the next study that we'll go through, all right? So we're going to pray, and then we're going to get right into the scripture, and then we'll go from there, all right? So let's pray together. Father, we just thank you so much for the day. Father, for the beautiful weather that we've had the last 2 days, and Father, just being able to just be able to be outside and get some things done and not sweating to death and all that. Father, we just thank you so much for your love for us, your watch care over us. We thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you for the folks that have really, really studied that and that we're able to glean from what they have learned from it. And Father, that we can learn from that as well. So be with us tonight as we go through this, and then just be with us as we remember those who are in need as well. And then also just being careful to give you thanks for what you've done. Once again, we thank you in your name we pray. Amen. So, prepare by prayer. We're going to start out this evening by reading Matthew 26, 31 through 41. So if you would, just hang in there with me and we'll read through this. All right? Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So what happens before and after Matthew 26:41 has some of the greatest ramifications in history. If you think about what's going on, what's happened before this, you know, we've got the disciples together and Jesus is preparing them and he's telling them that he's getting ready to go through. He's basically trying to tell them that he's getting ready to go through the crucifixion and all that. And we'll talk about that. I don't want to get too much into it. But then after this, he's turned over to Pilate and goes through the trial and is crucified. But there's a lot going on here, so we'll get into that. All right? So Jesus is about to have all the sins of humankind, past, present, and future, placed upon him and be sacrificed for us. He's getting ready to take all this on himself. Now, there's only one person who knew what was going on, and that was Jesus. He was the only one present who knew what was coming, and he was preparing himself for it. We don't need to pity him for what he was getting ready to go through. He knew exactly what was going on and what was going to happen. So we don't need to pity him. What we need to do is be thankful and even more grateful for what he did for us. He saw that there was a problem. He saw that, you know, there was sin. And with what was going on with sin, it separated us from his Father. And so Jesus, being one with the Father and, of course, the Holy Spirit, worked with his Father, and they came up with a plan of Christ sacrificing himself. You know what? And they knew this was going to happen from the very beginning. So, you know, Jesus was already providing a way for us to come to the Father. He also prepared himself for what he was going to be facing by praying to the Father to give him the strength and the power that he was going to need to face what was coming ahead. Because of what he did, he was able to establish the new earth that will never pass away. Because of him being willing to do what he did, paying the sacrifice for our sins, he was able to go ahead and start preparing the place where we will go when we pass away, or when he calls us home. One of those two. Of course, like we've already said, the way that he prepared for this was he went to his Father in prayer. Now, the disciples whom he took with him to pray didn't have the knowledge nor the foresight to see what the importance of this night was. Partly, they couldn't see what was in front of them and the importance of this night to Jesus. To them, this was just any other night. Yeah, boy, and I can imagine the conversation that went on. Something's really bothering Jesus this evening. Yeah, see, yeah, I've noticed that. Yeah, I mean, he just really seems to be focused on something. Yeah, so have you heard from your wife and kids lately? No, how about you? You know, to them, it was any other night. And so they just couldn't see that. They also, at this point, were too unspiritual to see who he really was and what the event was that was coming up. How many times do we look through the Gospels and we see that Jesus is trying to get them ready for what's going to come? And even while he's doing that, I mean, even in the scriptures, before this last one, we see him telling them that they are going to fall away. He knows this. Oh, no, no, not us, Jesus. We're with you. We've got your back. We're right here. We would never, ever do that. They couldn't see what was coming. They saw him just like you know, we talked about Israel last week, was wanting this king to come in and restore them to where they had been before, the country they had been before. This is still what the disciples are seeing as well, even though Jesus is trying to tell them, this is not the kingdom that I'm going to build for you. He's trying to tell them. And then also, they're fighting their own humanness. They're sleepy. It's tired. It's late at night. How many of you all, you're watching TV, watching something on, Julie and I were watching something on TV last night. And we're laying there watching it, and it's on Amazon Prime. And so she's laying there, and all of a sudden she just rolls over and she said, you're going to have to turn it off, because she said, I'm not going to make it through this. She was tired. She was sleepy. The disciples, it's late. It's night. They're there at Gethsemane. Jesus is praying, and he wants them to watch, and he really is wanting them to pray with him as well and pray for him. But they're fighting the humanness, and they're tired, and they're sleepy. And they end up falling asleep while he has asked them to stay with him. And he comes back and talks to them about that as well. Because of these three things, one would betray him, one would deny him, and all would forsake him and run away. Now, Jesus does give us that one nugget here at the end of that scripture. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Think about what was it that Jesus was praying about during this time? Jesus was praying in anticipation of what was to come. His prayer is what we would call an anticipatory prayer. Say that three times really quickly. Question for you. How many battles are lost before they are even fought because we haven't prayed in anticipation of what was to come or what is to come? How many battles are lost before they are even fought because we haven't prayed in anticipation of what was to come? History is full of instances like this. If you take a look at the Old Testament in the history of Israel, you're going to see this. When Israel would go into battle righteous, following God, putting him first, they're praying up, they're listening to what he's telling them, they never lost the battle. They always went into that battle and they won. But when they didn't pray, when they were doing things on their own, when they became full of pride, when they became full of iniquity and sin, they always lost. There are so many times we can look at Israel and see the reason why they lost the battle. So tell me something. We've got all of this through the Bible, and we're supposed to be studying the Bible and learning from it. So why do we not learn by the example of Israel and pray ourselves up for the battles we are going to face? And I mean, even when we think about some of the things that we do here at the church, you know, one of the strongest, and we've talked about this and talked about this, one of the strongest things that we have, if you want to call it a weapon, if you want to call it a tool, one of the strongest things that we have, and anybody can do it, is to pray. We ought to bathe everything we do in this church in prayer. If you are a Sunday school teacher, you ought to bathe your class in prayer before you go in and teach. If you are a worship leader, you ought to pray before you go into that pulpit and lead a church in worship. Whatever your ministry is, and you don't have to be the leader of it. If you are a participant in it, You need to bathe that in prayer. So if we take a look at the disciples, it was the same thing here. They did not lose the battle when they denied Jesus or when they decided to flee. They lost that battle that night at Gethsemane. Why? Because they didn't realize what was coming, even though Jesus had tried to tell them. They didn't realize who he really was. And in their humanness, they didn't realize how important it was for them to be prayed up for what was coming. They lost that. They lost that battle that night when they didn't have the strength to pray for what was lying ahead of them. Now, not only are battles are not only lost before they are fought, but they can also be won. We've got several examples of that in the Bible as well. Think about David and Goliath. You've got Goliath over here who, even by today's standards, was a huge man. Big man. Israel, they just wouldn't stand up to him. So what do? You've got this kid named David who followed God, had a mother who raised him and prayed to God, and you know, God was very, very important to him, and God had given him strength to do all this stuff. And you know, if you look at the history of David and the way that he tended to the sheep and all that, and God giving him marksmanship and all that, and so David has been preparing really for that moment all his life, with the way that, you know, he was with a slingshot and stones. But even before he actually confronted Goliath, what did he do? He prayed. That was important to him. The battle was won before David even faced Goliath because of what had happened before. Take a look at Jacob and Esau. If you remember, there's quite a bit of history there between Jacob and Esau, and Jacob stealing Esau's birthright. And, you know, really, Esau had every right to be absolutely furious with Jacob. And so Jacob is getting ready to meet with Esau and ask him to forgive him and all this. But the night before they meet, Jacob wrestles who at the time he thought was a person, but it ends up being an angel. But Jacob wouldn't let go. Jacob was intent on wrestling with this person, and he ended up asking for a blessing from the angel and got it. And he ended up, you know, Esau comes and they end up, they agree, or Esau forgives Jacob. There you go, that's what I'm looking for. But all that was a result of Jacob being prayed up the night before. That battle was won the night before. It wasn't won when he and Esau met. It was won before. Elijah against Ahab, Jezebel, and the prophets of Baal. Once again, that battle was won way before fire came down and set the offering on fire. If you remember that story, the prophets of Baal, they've got, you know, they've agreed that they're going to try to get it to light, and they're going to pray to Baal, and they're going to do all this. And, I mean, they did all sorts of stuff trying to get Baal to light this sacrifice on fire, and it never happened. And Elijah comes up and even throws water on it and everything and prays to God at that point. Now, yes, that prayer was important, but listen, that prayer, Elijah, once again, was being prepared for this all of his life, and it was a way that he did things that prepared him for this moment. God and Elijah had a relationship, and that relationship prepared him for this. Folks, so many times we need to go to God and we need to be doing these anticipatory prayers, knowing what's coming down the road, knowing what's getting ready to happen, and pray that God would help us way before it even happens. He will be there for us, and he'll help us through it. Now, like I said, this is the first part of this. The second part of it, we'll continue on, and we'll take a look at it some more next week. But anyway, lot of good stuff there. Let's be prepared for what's coming down the road. You know, what are some things that you can be praying for right now for our church? Well, you know, last week we put out a bunch of dates that we're going to try to start opening stuff back up. We want to open up our children's ministries the week after school starts. Folks, that is something to be in prayer about, because we tried to do that before. But numbers went up, we were pulling things back and all that. We need to be praying for that as it's coming up. You know, for me personally, school's coming up. What's going to happen there? I don't know. I need to be praying for that so that, you know, God can work through that and help us adjust to the changes that are coming. And, you know, we've got a lot of churches in our area that are struggling. We've got a lot of churches, honestly, that are still looking for the normal to return. And, you know, that's one thing that I appreciate about our pastor is that, you know, this, what we're looking at right now is probably going to be our new normal. Yes, we're going to be able to open some things up, but it's going to be a long time. And if we try to get back to just doing the same old, by the time we get back to where things are, if we want to say normal again, we're going to be irrelevant. We have got to find ways to break out of these four walls and do ministry where God wants us to step in. And we need to be praying for that. So folks, pray in all earnestness that God would show us where he wants us to step. And we've got some things coming up. When we were at our church council meeting, we've got some really neat ministries that we could use to reach out to our community. But it's gonna be thinking outside the box and doing some things. So be in prayer. Think about what God might be trying to show you, what you can do as far as a ministry. And maybe one of the new ones is something that you can be a part of. So.